Welcome to the first episode of Sino AI Insights. I'm Xiao Qian. From Beijing to the world, Sino AI Insight brings you informed perspectives on artificial intelligence, policy, and global governance from China and beyond. In the episodes ahead, we will speak with emerging scholars and leading experts to unpack how AI is shaping international order, economic transformation, and security debates. Today, AI is increasingly shaping the future of China-US relations. We are seeing growing competition over chips, models, talent, and industrial ecosystems. But at the same time, AI is also creating shared risks, from misuse by non-state actors to questions surrounding nuclear stability and frontier model governance. Ahead of President Donald Trump's visit to China, we want to ask a simple but important question. What kinds of AI dialogue and cooperation are still possible between China and the United States? To help us make sense of it all, I'm joined today by three guests who each bring a genuine distinct lens to this conversation. Mr. Sun Chenghao is the fellow at CISS, while he focuses on non-state actors and transnational security. Jiang Tianjiao is associate professor at the Development Institute of Fudan University and research fellow of Center for Global AI Innovative Governance. And Mr. Gu Dengcheng, research expert on China's industrial policy, and is also a non-resident fellow of CISS Tsinghua University. He will bring us the industry perspective, what Chinese tech companies are actually experiencing right now. Thank you all for joining us. Let's start with the summit itself. I'd like to open by asking each of you, what are your expectations for how AI might actually feature in this summit? What do you think could realistically land on the table, and where do you hope to see genuine progress? Let's start with Sun Chenghao, please.
Okay, thank you, Professor Xiao. I believe AI is increasingly becoming one of the most important new issues in China-US relations. Although competition over chips, talent, and industry ecosystems remains intense, I think AI is also creating a set of shared risks that neither country can manage alone. So my expectation is relatively cautious, but still optimistic. First, I do not expect the two leaders to announce highly detailed technical agreements. AI remains closely connected to national security, technological competitiveness, and industry policy. And the strategic distrust is still significant, and both sides remain reluctant to increase transparency in sensitive areas. However, that does not mean the summit cannot produce meaningful progress. The most realistic outcome would be maybe a reaffirmation and expansion of the important consensus reached by President Xi and President Biden in 2024, that decisions concerning the use of nuclear weapons must always remain under human control. This was a very significant statement because it established a fundamental principle at the intersection of AI and strategic stability. And the two sides could now move in two directions. The first is expansion. China and the US could encourage other nuclear powers, including UK, France, and Russia, to adopt the same principle and gradually turn a bilateral understanding into a broader international norm. The second is deepening. Both countries could begin discussing where exactly AI should and should not be used in nuclear command, control, and communication system. A complete prohibition is probably unrealistic, but both sides can still identify practical red lines. For example, ensuring that AI does not automatically trigger launch decisions or compress decision time to dangerous levels. And beyond the military domain, I believe there is even greater potential for cooperation. China and the US could work together on, for example, AI risk assessment, frontier model safety, biosecurity, deepfakes, and the misuse of AI by terrorists and other non-state actors. This is important because AI changes the relationship between the two countries. They are not only competitors, they are also co-risk bearers. Both possess advanced AI capabilities, and both face potentially catastrophic consequences if these technologies are misused or lose control. And President Trump also appears interested in projecting an image as a leader who can reduce strategic risks and maintain peace. And this political incentive may create additional space for pragmatic cooperation. So overall, I do not expect a dramatic breakthrough, but if the summit can reaffirm existing principles, reopen structured dialogue, and launch practical discussions in specific areas that would already represent meaningful progress and send a positive signal to the broader international community.
Okay, thank you, Chen Hao. You seem to be cautiously optimistic, and you think that the leaders might expand or deepen the agreement made by the two leaders in 2024. Okay, so Tianjiao, what is your take on this?
In fact, I also would like to echo this point. I expect reaffirm the 2024 Xi Biden commitments on keeping nuclear weapon under human control. As I think we have witnessed the rapid development of artificial intelligence, and the AI entangled with increasing nuclear risks has become an unprecedented challenge to all of us. But I think this point has been the consensus between both Chinese and American experts and even to the whole international society. And I think during a lot of track to dialogues, this topic has been discussed for many times. And in fact, I think for the past several months, I think even Chinese experts, they proposed that this topic can be put into the agenda of this coming bilateral summit. So I agree with Chen Hao that this is a very important issue. I really look forward to the discussion. And I think at the same time, you know, it's interesting that the NPT Review Conference, the Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference, is held in UN headquarters in New York now. So I think if China and US can have a joint statement on this, it will set a very good example to the international society.
So both Chen Hao and Tianjiao seem to comment from the strategic point of view. So I would like to ask Mr. Gu, what is your view from the industry point of view? What does the Chinese industry people see this summit? Do they have any special expectation for this?
Thank you, Professor Xiao, for having me. We can look at this from two dimensions. The first one is cooperation and the second one is competition. I will start with the first one. On the cooperation front, frontier models are advancing rapidly, and the rise of AI agents is making large-scale deployment a real possibility. Governing these models safely and regulating AI applications both require U.S.-China coordination. Tech Anthropic has recently released the model. For example, it demonstrated the ability to autonomously discover software vulnerabilities and even launch cyber attacks. So we believe that no single country can tackle these risks alone, whether we are talking about the national security issues or the social governance issues. That is the cooperation front. While on the competition side, we have seen the United States impose restrictions on China's access to advanced chips, adding unnecessary risks and burdens to China's domestic model labs and startups. But we also observed that compared with when GPT-3 first emerged, Chinese and American models are nowadays closer in capability than ever before. So facing common challenges in industry development and the governance ahead, we believe that both sides have entered an uncharted territory together. Last year, we witnessed that US starting eased restrictions on certain chips for China, which is a positive signal. Since AI is a common endeavor for all humanity, we hope that chip restriction issue can draw shared attention from both sides and that a rational, scientific, and cooperative approach will be adopted to safeguard the stability and the resilience of the global AI supply chain.
Okay, thank you all. It's clear that from this conversation that expectations for U.S.-China cooperation on AI are real. As Mr. Gu mentioned, many of the risks AI presents today aren't simply bilateral concerns between U.S. and China. They are challenges that the entire international community needs to grapple with together. So with that in mind, I'd like us to go a bit deeper into that landscape and take each of its dimensions in turn. Let's start at the highest strategic level nuclear weapons at Tianjiao. I read your piece in The Diplomat, co-authored with Robert Rust, and it's really stayed with me. The article revisits that important commitment in the 2024 joint statement that humans must always remain in the loop when AI is involved in decisions about nuclear weapon use. But your argument is that being in the loop isn't actually enough. Can you walk us through this? Why and what kind of risks are we really talking about? Autonomous weapon system grow more sophisticated? And what does integrating AI into those systems mean for strategic stability between the US and China?
Yeah, we all know that AI make mistakes. And especially for those frontier models, they are very powerful, very efficient, but they bring a lot of uncertainties. They may cheat human beings, they may override our safety or security guardrail. And autonomous weapon system is one of the AI military application, which means that the weapon system can decide whether to engage based on pre-designed algorithm. So, which means that if algorithms went wrong, or maybe, I mean, the data it was not good, And maybe because the laboratory environment is different from the real battlefield, or maybe the model were attacked by some, I mean, other even countries or non-state actors. All of these problems or malfunctions may lead to autonomous weapons violate the current international laws, regulations, or even against our own national interests. So I think to avoid these risks, keep human in the loop has been the consensus. However, AI develops so fast, and especially what we have witnessed in Gaza, in U.S. military operations in Iran, we found that, in fact, human operators, they don't have enough time to deal with, I mean, for example, the recommended target by AI system. And they are not sure whether the training data yes, correct or not. And now I think we are having more powerful AI agents, and they can interact with other agents to complete different tasks. So how to keep human in the loop, in fact, there is a big question mark here. And especially for China, United States, they are two nuclear major powers. Once such kind of accidents happen, it would lead to, I think, huge risks and the chain reactions.
With that, I want to follow up with another question. There's also a perception gap here. The US and China each tend to view the other's AI-enabled military development with suspicion and alarm, while seeing their own as a purely defensive. How does that mutual misreading affect the risk of miscalculation? And is there any realistic way to bridge it?
Yeah, so I think we all know that both sides lack mutual trust, and plus AI military application is quite a sensitive topic, so I think we don't have any official dialogues yet. Usually we based on like the worst scenario to make a decision. And I think when we train our AI agent, maybe it also apply to the AI training, that it will based on the worst scenario. So this will lead to, I think, further security dilemma and also a vicious circle. I think the key is to establish the dialogue mechanisms, including track two dialogues to avoid misunderstandings. I think in the past, both China, a lot of think tanks, Tsinghua University, Fudan, we engage with a lot of American experts to discuss this very important topics, but there is still a long way to go.
Yes, I totally agree with you that this kind of dialogues attract you are really important. So thank you, Tianjiao. Now, alongside the state-level military dimension, there's another layer of the threat landscape that I think deserves equal attention, and that is the growing role of non-state actors in the AI space. In some ways, the risks they pose can be even harder to anticipate and potentially just as dangerous. So Chen Hao, this is exactly your area of expertise. Before we get into the risks themselves, could you help us establish some clarity on this concept? When we talk about non-state actors in this context, what exactly are we referring to? Are there any points of agreement or disagreements between China and the US regarding this definition? And what kinds of concrete security threats do their activities in the AI space actually generate? Some specific examples could be really helpful here. Thank you. Please.
I think when we use the term non-state actors, we are referring to organizations and individuals that operate outside formal state structures, but still possess the capacity to influence international security. This includes, for example, terrorist groups such as Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, transnational criminal networks, extremist movements, private military companies, and even highly capable lone actors. And China and the US may use somewhat different terminology, but there is broad agreement on the fundamental point. These actors are increasingly gaining access to technological capabilities that were once available only to states. That is the strategic significance of AI. Historically, developing sophisticated propaganda systems, multilingual recruitment campaigns, operational planning tools or cyber capabilities required large organizations and substantial resources. Today, a powerful large language model can provide many of these functions at extremely low cost. So in my research, I identify three principal pathways through which terrorist organizations, for example, can exploit AI. The first is propaganda and recruitment. Generative AI enables extremist groups to rapidly produce multilingual content, synthetic videos, and highly persuasive narratives. For example, after the 2024 Moscow Crocus City Hall attack, supporters of the ISKP used an AI-generated virtual news anchor to disseminate propaganda, initiating the style of mainstream television. And the second pathway is personalized radicalization. AI chatbots can engage users in one-to-one emotionally interactive conversations that reinforce grievances and extremist beliefs. This creates a more intimate and potentially more effective form of ideological mobilization. The third pathway is operational planning. Large language models can assist with open source intelligence collection, target analysis, logistics, and scenario simulation. In effect, AI can significantly shorten the time between radicalization and real-world violence. More broadly, we are seeing a democratization of capabilities. AI lowers the threshold for conducting cyber attacks, generating deepfakes, and manipulating public opinion, and potentially coordinating autonomous drone attacks.
Talking about risks and the democratization of capabilities, we now see concerns ranging from AI-enabled cyber attacks to biosecurity risks that autonomous drone misuse. So which risks do you believe are most urgent for China and the US to address together?
That is a very important question. I think if I had to prioritize, I would highlight three categories of risks that are both highly consequential and particularly suitable for China-US cooperation. First is about cyber attacks against critical infrastructure. This is probably the most immediate concern. AI can significantly enhance the speed, scale, and sophistication of cyber operations. It can help attackers identify vulnerabilities, generate malicious code, and adapt in real time to defensive measures. So if such capabilities are used by terrorist groups or other malicious actors, they could target power grids, transportation systems, hospitals, financial institutions, or telecommunications networks. And the consequence would not be limited to one country. A major disruption in one part of the world could quickly create cascading effects across the global economy. Second, I think that you have mentioned biosecurity risks. So advanced large language models are increasingly capable of assisting with scientific research and problem solving. This is enormously beneficial, but it also creates dual use concerns. There is growing international discussions, I think also in our Tractor dialogue, about whether AI systems could lower the technical barriers for individuals seeking to synthesize dangerous pathogens or optimize biological agents. Even if this risk remains relatively low today, the potential consequences are so severe that China and the US have a strong shared interest in addressing it early. Third is the misuse of autonomous drones and robotics. Commercial drones are becoming cheaper, more capable, and easier to integrate with AI systems for navigation, target recognition, and coordinated swarm behavior. This means that non-state actors may eventually gain access to capabilities that previously belonged only to advanced militaries. The combination of AI and the low-cost autonomous platforms could significantly increase the destructive potential of terrorist organizations. Overall, I believe that the most urgent priority is not to solve every AI challenge at once, but to focus on areas where both countries face clear and common vulnerabilities. In other words, China and the US should begin with threats that neither side can manage alone and where cooperation produces immediate mutual benefits. This is why I often describe the two countries not only as technological competitors, but also as co-risk bearers.
Okay, this is a very important point. We've heard Tian Jiao on nuclear escalation and Chen Hao on the non-state actor threat. This can sometimes feel like high policy conversations that seem a little bit distant from our day-to-day realities. So, Mr. Gu Dengcheng, I generally want to ask, are these kinds of issues that companies are actually paying attention to? When you look at the AI risks and the governance from an industry point of view, what concerns sit at the top of your list?
Thank you for your question. I totally agree with Tian Jiao and Chen Hao. Alongside, I will give you some of my opinions. First and foremost, science knows no borders. AGI is a shared prospect looming over all the humanity, and we all face the common challenges it brings. The response to this issue was, in fact, already clearly framed in Section 4 of the famous executive order, Safe, Secure, and Trustworthy Deployment and Use of Artificial Intelligence, issued by the Biden administration in October 2024. Even though this executive order was late revoked, its core substance is still being implemented in practice. What we see today, the Trump administration considering a pre-release review for the most advanced frontier models, or at the very least establishing some kind of reporting requirement, actually traces back to what this executive order first proposed, right? Back to the EO, it identified three typical risk scenarios. Chen Hao also mentioned the generated content, right? The first is the AI and critical infrastructure and cybersecurity. And the second is AI and arms control. And the third is AI and generated content. Over the past 2 years, we have mostly seen risks related to AI-generated content, which Chen Hao has mentioned. But today, the threats that AI poses to critical infrastructure and cybersecurity are also are already imminent. The second, if we shift the perspective to China, China has already established a preliminary legal regulatory framework for artificial intelligence, characterized by foundational general law plus specialized scenario-specific regulations approach. On one hand, foundational laws such as the cybersecurity law, the data security law, and the personal information protection law have established the baselines for AI development. Notably, the cybersecurity law was revised last year to include, for the first time, comprehensive provisions on AI safety and deployment for the first time. On the other hand, China has taken a fast and flexible approach to legislation, targeting specific issues with precision. For example, interim rules on AI companion service issued this April is a swift regulatory response to specific application scenarios. So overall, the agenda of AI safety governance issues that China and the United States face is highly overlapping, we believe. And of course, this itself constitutes a foundation for the dialogue and cooperation.
Thank you for making that clear. We also noticed that recently distillation has become one of the prominent issues in the global AI industry. Some US companies argued that it threatens the commercial sustainability and the security of frontier models, while others see it as a natural part of technological learning and diffusion. So why do you think distillation has suddenly become such a big issue in this AI conversation?
I first heard of this word like 1 year ago, early 2025, when DeepSeek, right, become a hot topic. So we believe that distillation become a political flashpoint essentially because it got swept into the U.S. tech competition game with China. Knowledge distillation itself is a neutral machine learning technique using a stronger model to guide a weak one or leveraging model outputs to generate data for improving another model. This is standard practice across the global AI community. Anthropic itself has acknowledged that distillation is a widely used and legitimate training method. The problem is that the United States is attempting to bring the model outputs into its regime of capability control over China, which means that from chips to cloud computing and now extending to model API outputs and generated data. This is a part of the evolution of the US AI regulatory policy from product export control to capabilities access control. So the White House take the concept of adversary distillation, but the adversary in it is not a technical word, right? It is like an identity label. So the very same technical behavior is deemed legitimate when practiced by some U.S. companies, but becomes the kind of fifth action when practiced by Chinese companies. So this is a double standard that's not withstand scrutiny, we believe. More importantly, the core capabilities of Chinese models derive from independent architecture innovation and engineering accumulation. DeepSeek's multi-head latent attention and a mixture of expert architecture, MoE, and Chenwen's foundational model structure are all original, ground-up innovations. So let's bring this back to what it really is. Technically, distillation is not an original thing. Skill is not evidence of guilt, and the scientific research and technical exchange should not be redefined based on the nationality. Thank you.
I see. Just now you mentioned about this China-US AI competition, and now US is so into the narrative of this winning the AI race. So do you worry that technological competition might undermine the global scientific collaboration and open innovation ecosystem?
Just like the years ago, there will certainly be a visible competition in the short term, but I don't believe it will fundamentally undermine global scientific cooperation or the open innovation ecosystem. Not long ago, Nathan Lambert, a researcher at the Allen Institute for AI, visited several leading AI labs in China. What he observed aligns with what we experience. There is a high degree of mutual respect between AI researchers in China and the United States, and competition has not dissolved the human connections between them. Chinese AI labs function more like engineering-driven ecosystem, where researchers are builders focused on making the best models possible with a strong willingness to contribute to the open source community, which means getting community feedback through open source, developing rapidly, and giving back the experience to the global ecosystem. Another noteworthy phenomenon is that nearly all leading Chinese tech companies are developing their own large models in-house, including the application-oriented companies like Meituan and Xiaomi, right? We see they are all developing their own large models. So the driving force behind this is not the confrontation thinking, but the pursuit of the technical sovereignty, or we can say the technical independency, right? An instinct to maintain control over one's own tech stacks. As Lambert himself put it, what concerns him more than technical competition itself is the artificial features being created between different members of the community based on nationality labels. The underlying logic of AI development is global. I hold this belief for like 3 years. The underlying logic of AI development is global. The flow of talent, algorithm, and open source code will not come to a complete halt because of so-called policy barriers. The global scientific community is not that fragile. Thank you.
Okay. We've spent a good deal of time talking about risks and the threats, and now I'd like us to turn toward the other side of the equation, that is governance. So what kind of governance mechanisms could actually help us to manage those risks? Cheng Hao, you've argued that the functional cooperation around concrete specific risks is more achievable than just trying to build a single unified governance architecture. So can you take us through the reasoning behind that? Why do you see functional operation as the more viable path?
When we talk about AI governance, I think there is always a temptation to design a single, comprehensive, and universal governance architecture. In theory, that sounds attractive, but in practice, especially in the context of China-US relations, I think it is very difficult. There are several reasons. First, China and the US still have very different political systems, regulatory traditions, industry structures, and security concerns. So the two sides do not always define AI safety, AI security, responsible AI, or even risk in exactly the same way. So if we begin by trying to build a unified governance framework, the discussion may quickly become too abstract and too political. Second, AI is not a single issue. It affects military security, cybersecurity, and also biosecurity, economic development, education, social governance, so on and so forth. Each area has its own logic, actors, and risk profile. A mechanism that works for AI and nuclear weapons may not work for deepfakes. Or a mechanism that works for critical infrastructure protection may not work for open source models by biosecurity. Third, strategic trust between China and the US is still very limited. In this environment, any broad governance architecture may easily be interpreted through the lens of geopolitical competition. One side may worry that the other is using governance to constrain its technological development. The other side may worry that cooperation could create security vulnerabilities. So my view is that functional cooperation is more practical. And by functional cooperation, I mean cooperation organized around concrete, specific, and clearly defined risks. So instead of asking whether China and the US can agree on a grand AI governance model, we should ask, can the two countries cooperate to prevent AI-enabled terrorism? Can they exchange views on AI-related biosecurity risks? Can they develop crisis communication channels for autonomous systems? And can they coordinate on deepfake detection during major public emergencies? So this approach has several advantages, I think. First, it lowers the political threshold. It does not require the two countries to agree on everything. They only need to identify a specific area where their interests overlap. Second, it makes cooperation more operational. Officials, scientists, industry experts, and law enforcement agencies can work on concrete problems, such as risk indicators, information sharing procedures, model evaluation standards, or emergency response protocols. Third, it helps build trust gradually. In China-US relations, trust is unlikely to appear before cooperation. More often, trust has to be produced through cooperation. If the two sides can achieve small but real results in specific areas, those experiences may gradually support broader dialogue. I would also emphasize that functional cooperation is not a substitute for multilateral governance. It can become a bridge towards it. China and the US should not build an exclusive G2 model for AI governance, but given their technological capabilities and global influence, if they can reach limited consensus in specific areas, that can provide useful reference points for broader international discussions under the UN and other multilateral frameworks.
Talking about coordination and cooperation in specific areas, I remember that, Tianjiao, you've put forward the idea of a dedicated crisis management mechanism for unmanned systems modeled on the existing U.S.-China Military Maritime Consultative Agreement. But as we know, the MMMCA has faced its share of difficulties over the years, which raised a real question about durability. So I'd love to ask Tianjiao, what kind of design features would make a crisis management mechanism genuinely resilient and able to withstand political shocks and survive periods of diplomatic strain?
It's a very good question. I think maybe we should let both sides AI agents to communicate with themselves. I mean, just kidding. But I read several articles and papers talking about such kind of point. They would like to observe how both sides AI agents will communicate during crisis. It's a very interesting observation. But I think the key is that we need to realize that AI will bring a lot of uncertainties, and also loss of control may bring a very big series to the current crisis, to the current crisis management and also hotlines. So I think, in fact, the crisis may escalate very fast, and we may not have enough time to respond, maybe just a couple of minutes. And there might be overwhelming information or even disinformation during the future crisis. So I think we need to have a contingency plan and talk it about who is going to take the lead and take charge, and also what's the procedure, what's the standard, and what should be reported to each other. This is very important. And we should always, I think, maybe keep plan B for communication. For example, should we consider like the third party channel, because AI crisis may always happen in an unexpected way. So I think the future crisis management hotline might be quite different. I mean, we should still refer to the past experience, what we have been successful in some previous cases. We had some good stories. But at the same time, we need to deal with a new challenge together.
Agents communicating with each other, that is really a very innovative idea. But I doubt whether they will bring more problems on this issue. Let me ask one final question to close out. We've talked about mechanisms, architectures, and design features. But at the end of the day, all of this depend on the baseline level of political trust. The U.S.-China relations have been under enormous strain right now. So I want to ask each of you, perhaps a little more personally, are you optimistic on this? Not necessarily about the summit, but about the longer arc. Do you believe that the two sides can build enough mutual confidence or trust to manage AI risks together before those risks outpace our ability to govern them? Maybe we should start from Chen Hao.
My answer is still cautiously optimistic. I am optimistic not because I think competition in AI will disappear. I think the competition in areas such as chips, frontier models, talent, and the industry ecosystem will remain intense for the foreseeable future. But I am still a little bit optimistic for a more fundamental reason. Competition and cooperation are not mutually exclusive. In fact, throughout the history of international relations, major powers have often found ways to cooperate in managing risks, even while competing in other domains. So during the Cold War, for example, the US and the Soviet Union remained strategic adversaries, yet they still established arms control agreements, hotlines, and crisis management mechanisms, because both sides understood that some risks were too dangerous to ignore. I believe AI presents a similar challenge today. What gives me cautious optimism is that AI is creating a new form of strategic interdependence. China and the US are certainly technological competitors, but they are also co-risk bearers, as I have mentioned. If advanced AI systems are misused by terrorists, enable major cyber attacks, erode nuclear stability, or trigger accidents involving autonomous systems, both countries will face the consequences, regardless of who gains a temporary technological advantage. That shared vulnerability creates a strong incentive for cooperation. I'm also encouraged by the fact that both sides have already taken some meaningful steps. For example, the governmental AI dialogue launched in Geneva in 2024, and the leaders' consensus that humans, not AI, should control decisions on nuclear weapons use were modest but important achievements. These developments suggest that even amid strategic rivalry, both governments recognize the need for guardrails or red lines. Of course, the biggest challenge is time. Technology is advancing faster than institutions and norms. In many respects, our ability to govern AI is still lagging behind its capabilities. But history shows that governance does not need to be perfect from the beginning. It often starts with small practical steps, like regular dialogue, shared principles, confidence-building measures, and limited cooperation on clearly defined problems. So my view is that we should not ask whether China and the US can rebuild full strategic trust in the near term. That is unrealistic. The more practical question is whether the two sides can build enough functional trust to cooperate where their interests clearly overlap. I believe the answer is yes. And if the world's two leading powers in AI can demonstrate that competition does not preclude responsibility, that would not only improve bilateral relations, it would also send a powerful signal that technological rivalry can be managed in a way that serves global peace and security. So in short, I'm cautiously optimistic, not because the path will be easy, but because the stakes are simply too high for both sides to do nothing.
Okay, so long distance always starts from small steps, and that's a very important point. So Tianjiao, what is your point on this?
Yes, I think we have to be optimistic, or we would be wiped out by the Skynet system in the Terminator film, finally. And we know it takes two to tango, so I really hope that the coming bilateral summit can set a good example for the whole world on such an important topic, as we mentioned in the very beginning, that maybe the reaffirm of the bilateral commitment, this very important AI nuclear entanglement might be a very helpful one. And I also would like to say that even without bilateral cooperation in the short term, we could also do a lot for AI safety and security in unilateral ways. I think, in fact, China introduced a lot of domestic regulations, and maybe I think next time we can also talk about China's perspectives on AI safety and security issues. And we also would like to exchange our experience and lessons to help everybody.
Great. Let's hope for the best for the upcoming bilateral summit. Mr. Gudengcheng, what is your opinion on this?
I'm very optimistic. For Chinese AI, the hardest days are behind us, but for the global AI cooperation, the hard part is just beginning. If we look back at the Chinese AI's development, the most intense confrontation from the United States plays out at the upstream hardware level of computing regulation. As we move to the model layer or to the application layer, competition becomes more balanced. And once AI truly achieves universal access at the end user level, we believe, combined with the force of the open source community, upstream controls will grow increasingly tenuous. So if we truly believe that AI is the water and electricity of the future, the end game must be inclusive, accessible, and shared by all the humanity. If we look back to the evolution of the internet governance over the past two decades, the competitive landscape in the internet economy has been shifting from the supply side, meaning those who control the infrastructure, controlling the APIs, toward the demand side, right? The local sovereign markets where applications are deployed and used by its people day by day. So in the future, the AI governance will, we believe, it will work through the very same parts that the people using AI day by day will have the words in the cooperation and competition.
This has been a truly rich conversation, and I want to thank all three of you, from nuclear strategy to non-state actors, from industry realities to the architecture of governance. You've helped us put together a much fuller picture of what's actually at stake. So AI is fundamentally changing the underlying logic of international relations and how the US and China choose to manage their competition and find space for cooperation will be one of the defining questions of our time. So this is the first episode of Sino AI Insight, and we hope it's just the beginning of this conversation. Thank you for listening and staying tuned until next time.